You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii. Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central.
It's Sunday, September 18th. And you're listening to the 100th edition of the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Aloha, everyone. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to kick this off initially with a little bit of reminiscing down history lane, where we're going to go through some of the introductions that we did on some of the first shows at Geek News Central. And for one of the very first shows that we did, which was not RIA compliant, here's the introduction we did for that one of those very first shows.
Y'all ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready. I know you're ready. Oh, yeah. So we quickly changed our tune because we quickly realized that having that type of intro could very, very possibly get us in trouble with the RIAA. So we introduced Pod Safe Music the very next show. Check out this intro.
If it takes away the pain, it's all right. I'll rock you so hard. You might not make it through tonight. Followed up by lies, they might change you. If you get lost along the way, it's alright. We'll find another way to dance.
Welcome everybody to the Geek News Central Podcast. And of course, shortly thereafter, We introduced our trademark modem sound as part of the intro that has stayed with us from that point forward. And many of you that have been with us from the very beginning probably remember this intro that introduced one of those, one of my kids from the household here. Check this out.
Aloha from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast.
And of course, you can never forget when we decided to bring Big Radio Voice to the Geek News Central Podcast. And this one was did a long, long run. So, of course, you guys will never forget this one. Here's the Jeff Radio intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face.
Oh, get my ready. Goodness.
And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
And of course, it runs us up to our very recent new intro that has kind of grown on me over time, and it was the result of basically an intro contest that we had. And don't worry, this is the last one, and then we're going to get into the content.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
And on a more traditional note, aloha everyone, and welcome to our 100th podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host. And of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great information. And all the show notes are over there. And of course, today we're going to have a bunch of winners for a bunch of prizes. And your email addresses are going to be in the show notes, okay? There are so many prizes to give away. I am not going to go through and just basically kind of read down through the list and announce who got what. You're going to see the winners in the show notes. So once you see your names there in brilliant lights and color, make sure you send me an email directly to geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll get you hooked up with either the sponsor that provided the prize, or I will ship directly to you. But anyway, hey, it is actually Sunday, okay? We typically record the show on Thursday, but Thursday and Friday I was totally, had a commitment that I could not get away from. Something that happens every year on those 2 days. Along with that, I had an event last evening that I could not get out of either. So here we are, you know, 3 days past our normal show delivery date, and I'm recording. It is a beautiful, beautiful afternoon here in Honolulu, and it's just gorgeous. My wife has went out shopping. The kids are with, actually the two oldest kids are with my sister, and my youngest, he's downstairs sleeping right now. So we're going to see if we can get the show recorded during his nap time. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I kind of wanted to take you down, for those of you that haven't been with us for 100 shows, those of you that have gotten here in the middle, I kind of wanted to take you back a little bit and do some of those initial intros. And I was thinking about even pulling clips out from older shows, but decided not to. I've got enough content, enough data here to go through today that I just... I want to keep on track, keep on subject matter. But I do want to step back for a second, and I want to thank all of you. All of you that have stayed subscribed, that continue to listen to us on a regular basis. I know I get emails from you saying you listen to me at work, your drives, your train rides, your bus rides, your sitting in the car in traffic, at your desk at work during lunch hours, after work in the mornings. I want to thank you for listening and being with us. You know, without you, this show would not exist. And, you know, the emails that you send me on a daily basis really keep me motivated and keep this show, you know, pushing forward and trying to, you know, to find great new content for you. And I wanted to just step back and I know that I do this periodically. It's just give you a little background about myself. I thought it would be fitting today to... because I, you know, I don't talk a lot about my regular daytime job for some specific reasons. I thought I would read you the foreword, basically, out of my book, Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide, and read you the about the author section. And it gives you a pretty good perspective of where I've come from and how I have developed my relationship with basically communications and communicating with people and talking about new ideas. But let me just read you this, and I'm just going to read it verbatim out of the book. About the author, Todd Cochran is originally from Quincy, Michigan, but today he lives and works in Honolulu, Hawaii. His professional background is in aviation electronics. He has served for 22 years in the United States Navy on active duty. Married, he and his wife, Shoko, have 4 children. His ongoing professional and personal interest in new technologies keep him abreast of the latest developments in the technology world. His interest in podcasting has its roots in nearly 15 years of participating in different online communities. Before the advent of the internet as we know it today, he enabled people to share ideas and data by running dial-up bulletin boards. To this day, he has a hobby BBS still on net, and it's located at bbsnets.com. Many times, these old-school BBS systems were the only connection to home and family for troops deployed to remote relocations around the world. He developed an interest and deployed a personal weblog in 2001. In 2002, he launched the popular technology news site Geek News Central and has worked hard to build a significant readership. After learning about podcasting in late 2004, he quickly started his own show, and now has one of the popular technology news-based podcasts today. It complements his Geek News Central weblog. Todd's understanding of the coming change to media distribution and consumption led him to launch Podcast Connect in 2005, and is steadily working to implement unique podcasting opportunities that keep the podcaster's best interests at heart. He is also an active member of the Tech Podcast Network. So that kind of gives you some background, you know, about me a little bit. And I'll expand a couple of items. I was raised in Michigan in a very rural community, and actually Quincy, Michigan. And I be very, very honest with you. I was a geek then. I used to tear stuff apart and blow circuit breakers in the house. And my mom would just drive herself. I'd drive her crazy because I was doing stuff. And luckily, I didn't electrocute myself in the process. But I always had a love for electronics, and that's kind of where my career path has led. So, and with the advent of running the BBS and having participation in FIDO and being able to talk to people all over through the world, and the advent of the internet, there was a period of downtime where, everyone was just kind of reading. Everyone kind of that was around for the beginning of the internet know that there was a lot of websites and some forum stuff, but it was mostly just websites you went and looked at, and corporate sites, and the personal sites were okay, but they weren't updated on a regular basis. So when I was turned on to blogs, I thought, oh man, this is just, this is kind of like a BBS, but to a bigger audience. And even though the feedback mechanism isn't the same, it kind of serves the same purpose, allows us to talk and vent and discuss items of interest. And so when I was sitting in that hotel room last year and listening to, I was actually reading Dave Weiner's Scripting News site, and him talking about this audio distribution mechanism, and I got turned on to the whole podcasting thing. I thought, man, what a great way to supplement what's written on Geek News to put in a podcast. And it's kind of taken on a life of its own, as you all know. And it's been an amazing year, and I have to say I go back and say it's because of you guys that are listening that's made it an amazing year, and the big upsweep of podcasting. And I've read some articles recently that said podcasting is in its 14th hour or 14th minute of its 15 minutes of fame, and it's on its way out, and commercial podcasters are coming on. And I totally don't believe that, because a lot of the corporate stuff that we're listening to, with the exception of a few, it's some of the same old, same old. And even traditional media stuff, people, terrestrial broadcasters are jumping over. I'm calling them jump overs. And they're jumping over into podcasting. A lot of their content is the same old, same old. And I think the uniqueness of podcasting continues to grow. And we've got a long, long ways to go. I did a book signing here in Honolulu several weeks ago, where I would say 97% of the people that came through the door and walked by my table looked down at the subject title of the book and everything, and had that quizzical look and kind of wanted to ask, but really didn't want to. Some people just, they want to know about something, but they don't really want to ask because they don't want to appear to be ignorant or not knowing what's going on in the world. And so I got to asking, and I took a different tactic and started asking people, do you know anything about podcasting? And I started explaining it to them and details, and getting groups of people to stop by the table. And what started off being a deer in the headlights type of look ended up being like this, da-dung, oh, wow, that's cool. And people got it. So we've got a long ways to go to educate people. And we've got, I think we're absolutely a year or two away from critical mass. Obviously all the press has helped, but until mainstream media, until your mom comes up and tells you about podcasting, or is someone that is not necessarily hooked up to technology wants to know about it, we will not have reached critical mass. So we've got a long way to go. And my philosophy with this show is to continue to bring you great content, to try to make it added value so it's worthwhile for you to tune in. And I find stuff that maybe necessarily you won't find through your just regular searching and looks through media and on stuff on the internet. So I hope to do that, and hope to be able to increase our impact to you in a bigger, bigger way in the forthcoming year. And as we, we're going to reach our 1 year anniversary here in a couple of weeks, but figure this 100th show is a pretty significant milestone. And the 25th show, we gave out $20 gift certificate. On the 50th show, we gave out a American flag that was flown on the USS Missouri that is docked here at Ford Island. And it was flown on, actually, the winner of that had that flown on the 4th of July. And he is in possession of that flag now. On the 75th show, we gave away two podcasting accounts, and along with some basic consulting and that type of stuff. Only one of those winners has actually launched a podcast, and they're doing very well and have picked up a sponsor. On our 100th show, okay, I kind of put out the call for all of you to, if you wanted to donate, to please do so. And so for this show, what we're going to be giving away, and I'm going to be putting all the people have contributed prizes. Our first prize we're going to give away is from Adam Ramirez from Madtown Aces Productions at www.madtownaces.com. And Adam put together a little promo for us. Check this out.
Hello, Geek News Central listeners. This is Adam Raymer from Madtown Aces Audio Productions. We specialize in making podcasts sound better. We're proud to help Todd the Geek celebrate his 100th show here at Geek News Central. Todd's going to be giving away some great prizes on that show, including $300 in audio production services from us here at Madtown Aces Audio Productions. This is for all of you, the loyal Geek News Central listeners, just to say thank you and thank you for staying subscribed. I can't wait for the 100th edition of Geek News Central Podcast, and I bet you can't either. Again, this is Adam from Madtown Aces Audio Productions reminding you to podcast like you mean it. Now back to you, Todd.
In addition, we've got some Cafe Press stuff being given away by OfflineT-Shirts.com. And here's the message they sent us.
Hi, Todd, longtime listener and owner of OfflineT-Shirts.com here. I thought I'd help out with your 100th celebration by replacing those shirts you're probably going to be losing in the party and those mugs you'll probably be breaking while imbibing in different beverages. So I'll offer up 2 t-shirts and 2 mugs, winner's choice, from OfflineT-Shirts.com. Thanks for 100 great shows, and here's to 100 more to come. Thanks, Todd.
And thank you. And additionally, Andrew Darlow is going to be giving away a $150 value of a 1-hour phone consultation. Andrew is the editorial director of Digital Imaging Techniques magazine at www.imaginginfo.com. So we're looking forward to hooking you guys up with Andrew to get some free consultation there. Additionally, the drummer from the Reverse Engineers, Dan, has given us 5 autographed CDs to give away of their new Max Q CD. And so we're looking forward to getting those mailed out. We also have some Cafe Press gear, a single item from the website ArtGogo. It's ArtAGogo.com/blog. From their website, they're going to give away 1 item out of their Cafe Press store. We have Fran, one of our very long-term listeners. And Fran, thanks for the donation of the item. She has a Behringer UB-802 Eurorack 8-input mixer that she does not need. And she has authorized me to give that away. And what I would ask is the person that we pick out of the mailing list, if you are not a podcaster, please indicate that you're not. And well, I'm trying to make sure that this goes to a podcaster, okay? A podcaster that needs a mixer. So let me know if you're a podcaster or not when you see your name up there in the mailing list. If you're not, I'll hook you up with something else, okay? And then we'll pick someone else. Along with it, of course, our sponsor, GoDaddy.com, has offered up a $100 in free product/domains of the winner's choosing. And we're going to have a special number that the winner is going to call and get hooked up with a customer service rep there at GoDaddy. Along with that, we're going to give away 5 GoDaddy t-shirts. So I'll be sending the names and addresses to Chris, and she'll be mailing those out for us. Now, I'm going to be giving away 1 Apple 4-gig iPod Nano. So I know some of you are probably like, woohoo, I want to get a hold of that. And, of course, I'm going to be giving away 5 domain names. So that's a pretty good prize list. And there are nearly 2,000 of you in the mailing list. So we've got enough prizes, but your odds of winning are definitely going to, you know, of those 2,000, we're going to go through and pull those names out or those email addresses out. So I want to thank all the people that have sponsored stuff for this 100th show, of course. As I said earlier, our goal is to try to save you some money on every show, and to do that today, for a limited time, GoDaddy is offering a $1.99 domain name, transfers or renewals with each and every new non-domain product you buy. Each domain name includes complete email, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Now check this out. Plus, you guys get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter GEEK3, that's GEEK, and the number 3 as your source code. Thanks to GoDaddy for continuing being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Now, how you use that, now how you score those $1.99 domain names is when you go to their website at GoDaddy.com, you enter a domain name that you want to register, and you find it and step through. They have some additional non-domain products that you can buy, and you can look through and see if there's something in there that interests you. If you choose one of those, then you get the domain name for $1.99. What's cool about that is when you get to the checkout counter, where it actually gets to the end, where you actually are getting ready to pay, if you enter the coupon GEEK3, you get an additional 10%, okay? So whatever the total is, you get an additional 10% off. You know, great, great deal. Doesn't come around very often like that. So check that out. And, of course, again, thanks to GoDaddy. All right, I want to reflect a little bit, and I guess no anniversary show would be looking back and seeing where we've come, what we've done, and where we've been. And I don't want to really do this to like toot my own horn, but I think some of these items are noteworthy, and I should kind of go through them. And I hope that you'll bear with me. I know most of you are aware of most of these initiatives and things. But back in December, when I got an email from my soon-to-be editor at Wiley asking me to do a book on podcasting, I was initially pretty surprised. Secondly, I was honored. And third, I decided I needed to be able to, really make sure I put a book together that would serve the community well and give them a blueprint on how to do a podcast in a way that I thought was successful and used the lessons that I had learned on this show from the time we started and through the published date. To, you know, really give people a good stepping, a map to be able to walk through. So, obviously, when I went through and started writing the book, did the outline, and I think I got started writing first week of January or February, I can't remember now, but I know I finished like April 1st or April 9th, something to that effect. It took me 90 days to write the book after the outline was done, and of course, send it off to the publisher, and you're sitting there with this feeling of dread. Oh my goodness, how's this thing going to be reacted to by the community? And, you know, I worked with Chris McIntyre over at Podcast Alley. He was my technical editor. I had a terrific copy editor and everything. And they all had reassured me, don't worry, it's a great book. It's a great book. But now, you know, we're down the road a little bit. Here, it was released in May. So June, July, August, September. We're 4 months into its release. Sales are still doing terrific. The feedback I get continuously is awesome. People are saying thank you, thank you. And you know, I've even got some listener email that I'll talk about tonight from some people that followed the blueprint of the book and have done very well and picking up sponsors and actually producing great shows. So, you know, that myself, I guess, you know, it was kind of it was a gift back to the community. It was my gift back to say, all right, I'll take what I've learned and give back to you guys. And it's what we try to do here. I try to give back as much as possible so that, you know, I keep you guys subscribed and that you guys come and for the great content. Now, in addition to that, I think back in January, you know, I got to thinking, as you know, there's a lot of people making movement towards commercializing a podcast. And I thought, you know, for so long, I've always said that, you know, take, for example, a music artist. Music artist, they go and they work and they have these, you know, they go on the road and they play in front of live audiences, and they really have to bust their tails to be seen. And once they are seen and signed by a major label, then, you know, they release them, you know, they get a million records sold and they make some money. But typically, artists have not been paid a lot of money. You know, they get a few cents on every CD, and I don't know what it boils down to. There's been plenty of studies that have talked about how much money they make. And, you know, the artists actually make most of their money when they're out touring. And I kind of decided that, number one, we need to have something in place that assures that podcasters do the work podcasters get paid. And let's be honest, you know, I know some of you have been real negative. Some of you have been negative to commercialization of podcasts. But I think if you listen to enough shows and you like the content, you should be able to try to support those shows. And the reason for that is the work that goes into producing a good quality podcast is pretty intense. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And I think that people's times are worth something. You know, obviously I would be doing a podcast without a sponsor. If I didn't have a sponsor today, the show would roll on just because it's the nature of the way I've developed the show. And it does help to have a sponsor to cover some bills and to, you know, it does help. But I've always thought that if this thing goes more mainstream and, you know, when you get 1 million listeners, the scale of this thing grows and the costs go up considerably. And I'm not saying that any of us are going to have 1 million listeners, but let's say that we do. We got to have something in place, and there's got to be something in place that podcasters do the work, podcasters get paid. So when Steve Holden and I were having a discussion in January, we did this thought process of forming a umbrella group, which we did with techpodcast.com. You know, some of the goals that we had set out have been reached, some that we're still working towards. And you're going to hear more about that in the future. But, you know, we've got a great group of shows over there, and they're all child safe, educational, at least they're supposed to be. You know, we're not all of them. Everyone has agreed to a standard to uphold over there. So that we, you know, we basically self-rated ourselves and tried to find good shows and weed out the shows that are not necessarily the best. And in those that we don't allow in the network, we send them an email, tell them what we thought and what they can do to fix and how they can reapply it and down the road, et cetera, et cetera. And that network has grown and grown very well. We've got some things we have to improve over there. We know that. But our roundtables, which we thought would be our cornerstone show for the network, has turned out has had great response. And with the addition of the GoToMeeting being the sponsor for that show, along with some others, we've been real happy with the turnouts that we've had to our live events. And it's no different than our upcoming live event on September 24th, where we're going to have three guests in to talk about podcast hosting. One of those is going to be Peter York of downloadradio.org. Another is going to be Dave Checkin from libsyn.com. Another is going to be Stephen Ubelor, and he's going to be show us how to get Drupal podcast ready. So those of you that are Drupal, like to use Drupal, which you can find at drupal.org, you'll want to check that out. We've got some other topics we're going to cover, probably 60 to 90 minutes. We've got a sign-up thing over on the techpodcast.com webpage, and we want to make sure that you come out. We're limited to 200 people that can attend the event, but I think we're going to be close this time by the number of people that have signed up for the event. So we hope that you have time on your schedule next Saturday on the 24th at 1:30 Pacific is when that's going to go down. And talking of GoToMeeting, let me introduce you to this. Hey, folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech-roundtable to get your free trial now. Now, when I was sitting down earlier in the year, I got to thinking about podcast awards, and I was really concerned about, I've seen some of the voting systems are out there on different sites, and we wanted to develop a thing where we could have it the people's choice, where people could come in, nominate shows, the listeners would vote. We wanted to try to make sure that we would eliminate cheating, et cetera. So I invested heavily, dollar-wise, in building a engine that would be very secure, and it would basically weed out those that were cheating, and we built a great system and had a great team over there at Wynn Technologies that did that. And so when we launched the podcast awards, there's someone calling me on Skype. They're going to have to wait. When we launched the podcast awards site, we learned a lot of things this year, and we had a great turnout and a huge number of people that have voted. Of course, that's going to culminate in a award ceremony going to be handed out at Podcast Expo on November 11th at the Marriott across the street from the convention center. So for those of you that are podcasters that want to get involved in the want to be part of the award ceremony, make sure you get over there if you're there in Ontario for the Podcast Expo. But that was just another thing that we kind of thought up and said, ah, that'd be a cool thing to do. And we launched that, did that site. And that's going to be an annual thing. We're going to continue on. We had a lot of, gave out a lot of great prizes, gave back again to the podcasters, cash awards, prizes, microphones, software. So, you know, we kept the focus on giving back to the podcasters. And that just continues with the theme that I have, businesses that I've developed and promotions, et cetera. Now, something that we're working on now that is in its final stages is the Podcast News Network, and it's going to be over at podcasternews.com. We've got a great site design there. It's not launched yet. You can't see it yet. We're getting ready to turn our podcasters loose on it to tear it up and make recommendations, but it's going to be a listener. It's got everything in the site design is all designed so that the listeners can come in. Your mom is going to be able to come to the site. You're going to be able to come to the site. And everyone's going to be able to use it. It's going to be very, very user-friendly. And it's not going to be built for geeks. It's built for listeners. So we look forward to launching that. And, of course, we've got a great group of podcasters that are getting ready to become involved in that. Short show formats, 5 minutes or less on typical content that you listen to every day on the news. And I think you're going to be excited when we get that up and running. But you know, it's just a few of the things that have happened this year that I've specifically been involved with. Now, I'm not doing that to toot my own horn, okay? I really don't want to, I hope it doesn't come across that way. But have we not had an amazing year so far? Has it not been in just the whole community at large? Look at all the sites that have popped up. Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Pod Show, Podcasting News, you know, just all of these great sites with great resources and great information and all these new content producers. It just blows me away. And I think it's been an amazing, at least amazing for me, it's been an amazing 100 shows, been an amazing learning experience. In addition, the next 100 are going to be even better, obviously. And we're always looking to improve the format, so we always want you to send comments to the show. I'm at 30 minutes, and I've got real content to talk to you about tonight, too. But I've got a few listener emails that I just want to go into real quick here. And I do want to go back to Frank, who read my book and has followed basically the blueprint of the book. He scored a huge sponsor here a couple of days ago, and he's using a lot of the equipment that we recommended. And he actually discovered Wimpy on our site. And it led to all these things to attract some big sponsors. So, Frank, congratulations. And I'm glad that the book worked out for you. You know, that is, it just makes me know that, bam, all that hard work is really paying off for those of you that are creating podcasts. And those of you that have sent positive comments back, I really do appreciate it. Now, I got a message from Tom. He's checking out the show. He checked out the show for the very first time on the 99th show. And he wondered about how he can leave a comment to the show on the voicemail. Tom, the voicemail line for the show is in it's a 619, which is a San Diego area code. So you can Skype out to that number, or you can even leave him a message on Skype on voicemail if you want to do that. But you can call the Skype number at 619-342-7365. And it's where I signed up for the service. So unfortunately, no 808 area code number. I do get all these like some great emails. And I got one from Pierre, who is has been listening to the show since March. And he says that he loves to listen. And he's actually overseas. He lives in Barcelona. And he says he loves to take a break from the Spanish and listen to your show. And he wondered, what do you do have to qualify for the prizes in Show 100? And I hope that you got on the mailing list, Pierre. I think I did send you a response to that to sign up for the mailing list. But if you didn't, and you didn't get on the mailing list, well, don't worry. We're going to have lots of more cool stuff in the future. Also, got a message from Coolby. Thanks for the comments, Coolby, on the show. I really do appreciate it. I don't think I'm going to go much more deeper into the actual show comments this time because we're already at 33 minutes and. I know I've covered a lot of stuff here in my little notes about where we've come from, some things that have happened this year, the prizes that we're going to be giving out, background and my philosophy, etc. But I do have some podcasting, some tech content that I need to cover today so that we can uphold that value of giving you some good news, okay? I do want to talk quickly, and I know that most of you probably have already seen this, but Google launched, and of course, here I am 2 or 3 days late on the podcast, so this is really old news, but Google has launched that search engine for blogs, and a pretty cool search engine. I do like using it, and have been playing with it quite a bit. Now, I did find an action call to action item that came in from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and I'm going to basically kind of read some of the stuff off of the posting that I put up. The RIAA has decided that the makers of the next generation of digital radio receivers, they decided those need to be legislated so that they cannot copy music and so that they have a reduced quality. Now, for those of you that don't know what digital radio is, it's basically everything comes over FM modulation now, and they're getting ready to introduce digital FM, essentially is what it is. And it's just a little bit higher quality than what you're getting now on your FM radio station. So you've all known that you've been able to record. If you got a cassette recorder or a CD player, whatever it may be that you're recording, you can record stuff off the radio today. Well, the RIAA wants that abolished. They don't want any fair use. They don't want you to record nothing. They want the audio that actually you listen to coming over that digital receiver to be a lower quality than what the FM stations. It's probably equal to the FM stations that you get now, but they want that to be a lower quality so that people aren't going to pirate the signal. Well, from the EFF, what they've said, in other words, the music industry is basically saying that where recording from next generation radio is concerned, the government must step in and freeze innovation to ensure that you can never do anything that you couldn't do with an analog cassette deck in 1984. This is in despite the fact that Congress specifically approved the Digital Recording Off the Radio and Audio Home Recording Act in 1992. So this is about stopping music bands from doing things that are perfectly legal under copyright law. We're talking about fair use. We're talking about allowing you to record stuff that you can record today and not necessarily share, but use for your own personal use. They want that abolished. They want it stopped. Well, I've got a link on the website, and it's a big title on the website, Call to Action. You need to go over to the EFF. And they have a letter writing campaign to speak out to your congressional people, your congressional representatives, to say, don't go forward on this. Stop this nonsense now. Stop it in its path. Don't allow legislation to be introduced. Don't follow through on their heavy lobby. So what I did is I took the format that the EFF has provided, and I personalized it myself. I said who I am, what websites I do, what my association is and what my stance is. And I updated their template that they gave and I sent that off. I got a call back from, one of the congressional offices the next day, with one of the staffers wanted to talk to me specifically about my position. And so there is some interest there. So get over there and put your voice, let your voice be heard if you so desire it to be. Okay. I think it's important that you do so. Now, I've got, in regular news, I've got a stack here. There's a good article on podcasting for marketers. There's an interview with Rodney Rumford from podblaze.com. And it's a 14-minute interview that's on it's basically as a podcast. So you can go over to marketingstudies.net. The links will be up in the show notes on this. I think it's a pretty good interview. I'd like to talk to Marketing Studies. I'll give them a piece of my mind on what I think about podcasters and how they can market their podcast. They may learn a thing or two. Okay, you know, of course, eBay buying Skype. Did you guys know that there's a company that is providing a tool for broadband providers that will let them block Skype traffic? So I'll be interested to hear from any of you that are having trouble using Skype. I think that eBay needs to get up to speed very, very quickly in the network neutrality discussion. And this is a good article that's up on TechDirt on the information with the with eBay's Skype and this software company that is trying to block Skype traffic. Additionally, there is an article out on TechDirt that talks about how DSL is now cheaper than cable broadband. And there's an analysis that it went down. It said it's now 75.8% more expensive than DSL. Is that shocking or what? So check that out and let us know what you think. And if you have DSL, I'd like to hear what you guys are playing for DSL, paying for DSL, and the upload-download speeds that you actually have right now. Those of you that are using BitTorrent a lot, there's a vulnerability that has been tested on all the major torrent trackers that use TorrentBit source code. Apparently, there's a way that the ratios can be manipulated with. So I found this over on SlashDirt. You can check that out. Saw an article on LockerGnome that talks about blog rolls. And I can't believe someone asked, what is a blog roll? And for those of you that don't know what a blog roll is, it's simply a listing of sites. And you'll see one on geeknewscentral.com that's sites that maybe that I read on a regular basis that I can click to easily. If you haven't added geeknewscentral.com to your blog roll, please do. Please add our website to the blog roll. And, you know, if obviously what I do from time to time is sites mention us, reference us back or reference an article that we talk about, then I do do a little quid pro quo and put an article back to your personal site, too. So if you're writing a web blog, make sure you add us to your blog roll. We'd appreciate it, or I'd appreciate it, obviously. Now, Congress is showing off a draft of a new broadband legislation, and according to Ars Technica, they say it doesn't look half bad. Well, there's a PDF available of it, so I'm going to let you guys all go over there and download this this proposed legislation, take a look at it, look at the comments that are on Ars Technica, and make sure that you put your comments up in your weblogs or send me a comment back on what you think, and I'm going to get into this a little deeper on the next show. Now, I know I had gotten a couple of emails from people saying that, hey, don't forget your audience is international and not just focused, don't focus it so much on everything strictly in the United States, and I'm definitely going to keep that in mind, and I'll be watching out for that in the future. And I know that a lot of the tech news, there's a lot of great tech news that originates in the United States, but I also know there's a lot that comes from different countries. So if you are a listener and something is in your country that is significantly important in the tech side, send me a link to that. That'll help me find those cool articles that deal with the technology outside of the United States that involve other companies or services and that type of, or something that's commerce related even. Okay, I'm always watching this space and science news, and today there is a picture up from the Mars Surveyor that shows a rippled valley floor of Mars, and it just looks so much like a riverbed. It's totally amazing. I wish I could see a bigger picture of this, and you know where this rippling looks within the picture itself. But I'm gonna let you guys take a look at this. It's over at spaceref.com. And I'll have the link up in the show notes, obviously. Now, that Japanese spacecraft is approaching the asteroid. It's apparently 20 miles away, 20 kilometers away from it right now. They're going to be basically pacing the asteroid for a couple of weeks. And then they're going to move closer to within 7 kilometers by the end of the month with a projected November touchdown, where they're going to collect samples, and then they are going to depart the asteroid on a trajectory that will bring the spacecraft back to Earth in 2007. The goal is to bring materials back, you know, from the asteroid itself, so that we can get all this cool information and find out what it's made up of. So I'm wishing the Japanese success on this, and I hope it goes well. Along with that, Cassini has spotted an old ancient shoreline and off of Titan. So great imagery from Cassini, and that'll be up in the show notes also. Today I had this my heartbeat skipped a notch when I read this article, and there's been a little bit of commentary about it on the internet, and I think it's all involves a movie announcement, and I'm going to tell you this in advance because it's in a section of the Yahoo group that says movies.yahoo.com, but it's written by a guy by the name of Mike Forrester, and he's written it like an article of fact. Okay? He did not put any disclaimers in the article anywhere that it wasn't fact. He wrote it as fact, saying that there is a planet-dissolving dust cloud headed towards Earth, which is supposed to arrive on June 1st, 2014. You know, they've already got a projected time of arrival, which is kind of hokey. And it was discovered supposedly April 6th by NASA's Chandra X-ray Observatory. And it's apparently a swirling 10 million wide cosmic dust cloud, and it's been likened to an acid nebula. So it's on a few of the hoax sites already saying it's a hoax, but I just don't understand why this would be put in this website in the way that it was. For someone that was unsuspecting, it would probably scare them to death. So I want you guys to check this out. Let me know what you think. Think today. When it came from, where it came from was a website that hasn't been really, has been kind of known for poor reporting in before or weird stories. It came from the All Weekly World News stories. And, but anyway, when I first read it, I was like, holy cow, what is this? And then I got to looking closer at the headlines and what section it was in. But if you guys hear anything more on this hoax or why they wrote it the way it was, let me know. How many of you are thinking about sitting on the fence to buy a DVR? How many of you need a new computer? How many of you considered buying a media center PC versus buying a traditional TVR, like a DVR like a TiVo, or one that may be made by one of the major manufacturers? Great article over on thelongtail.com on a gentleman's experience in buying a media center PC. My laptop that I have here, this HP Pavilion ZD8, 8000 is a media center PC, and I actually don't have it all the media center PC components hooked up. I don't have the tuner or anything tied into my cable line yet. I just haven't had time. But those of you that are looking for basically a DVR, this might be an option. So, you know, I have not spent a lot of time really looking closely at all the options that are available on the Media Center PC. And I've got a remote control for my laptop here and all this extra stuff. I think I'm on vacation the next week. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some time and actually dig into this thing, see what it does, how it works, and talk about it a little more in depth in an upcoming show so I can give you guys some of my own feedback. But great article on this. And I think that it's a good alternative. You know, you can still use a PC as a PC, but you can also get all the cool effects that that is offered by the Media Center PC. Okay, I've already talked about the Google blog search a little bit. That'll be in the show notes. Also, a little bit of information about Apple supporting video podcasting. We've kind of known that's been in place for a while already, where if you are doing putting videos in place of a podcast instead of an audio podcast, the Apple iTunes, you can download it and allow you to view it, etc. Additionally, those of you that have got a lot of great feedback on the tech.memorandum.com, and I apologize, after spelling it out on the podcast, I spelled it wrong in the show notes last show. But those of you that may have been confused and did not get to see that, you can go to tech.memorandum.com. tech.memorandum.com. All right. So it's spelled a little differently than the regular words. So check it out, and great stuff on there. Great place to find content. Okay. There's a great article over on Search Engine Watch. It talks about results from the Google groups now appearing at the bottom of Google web page results. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Google groups allows people to have mailing lists. And what's different about it than Yahoo is Yahoo always embeds a advertisement in the bottom of every mailing list message. And it just is irritating, drives you crazy. Google does not do that. There is an option within the Google groups that makes the group private so that people can't find the results in a Google search. But if you don't make it private, if the group is open, you can now find articles or find information that people have talked about on subjects in Google groups within the Google web search. All this information is on this Search Engine Watch article, and how you can find that data and using advanced search, etc. So, this is awesome because I've always liked searching newsgroup information because usually you can find a lot of great, detailed, correct information with that. And here I got the phone ring. Pause to answer. Oh, that was the wife, and I had to do a flash hook to Japan. Okay, continuing on here, there's an article out on what you can do with movable type version 3.2, which I'm going to be upgrading here in the next couple of days. And some good innovations that they're doing over there. Now, PDC is over, but a lot of RSS announcements by Microsoft, and I did want to cover where they announced RSS support in upcoming versions of Windows, Office, etc. This comes straight off of Robert Scoble's web blog, and I'm going to read down through these real quick. It says, in the operating system itself as part of IE7, in the operating system itself as a gadget on the sidebar, in the new Outlook as a reader, in the new SharePoint, and he says it'll spit out all of its stuff as RSS. We discuss RSS blogging and the new wiki functionality in a video that's up on Channel 9. In the new start.com, where the aggregator is getting more and more sophisticated. Of course, 6 RSS was driving all the plasma screens at PDC. In fact, if you added your photo on to our PDC 05 Flickr site, within about a minute, that photo would start appearing on screens all around the hall. All other information on the screen was delivered via RSS. It certainly has demonstrated very clearly how RSS can be used for far more than just subscribing to weblogs. And he basically says, did I forget anything? And he apologizes for not having a couple of people there, primarily Dave Weiner and Steve Gilmore. But looks like lots of RSS support coming from the gang there in Redmond. So I look forward to seeing all that stuff rolling out. O'Malik has a great article on his website titled Get Ready for Wireless Cable Broadband. And it's actually, it talks about some services being rolled out in Ireland. It's an Ireland-based DigiWeb that started using a wireless DOCSIS 2.0 technology. It's allowing consumers to get broadband at 3 Mbps download and 512 kbps upload. And the company is bundling free voice IP numbers and a phone line with the package. It's currently available in Dublin, Galway, Cory, Limerick, Waterford, and Dundalk. Probably pronounced that incorrectly. But additionally, this is being rolled out as a consumer service here in the United States as a test bed in San Angelo, Texas. And they're going to be using the 700 megahertz and the 2.5 gigahertz licensed frequency bands. Pretty cool. I think this is has some high potential to maybe route around the cable network a little bit. But go ahead and check out this article on O'Malik's broadband blog that talks about the services and expected implementation by different municipalities, but different service providers. Okay, found a guy's into TV. Well, there's a TerraTech has introduced a USB TV tuner. It comes about the size of a flash memory stick. And I think if you're traveling and you want to get some TV that's traditionally broadcast over the open airways, you can check this out. And it actually allows you to record those TV stations as you would which allows you to use it in a DVR function. Okay, there's a company that is giving out iPod Nanos in any color that you want. You have to pay $65 extra. You have to send it off to them, but they will color it in as a color Ferrari or Alpine Carbon or Cotton Candy, whatever color you want. They will do it for you. They'll do your iPod Nano up for an additional $65. Some news on the TiVo front. TiVo Video on Demand, so very nearly here. This is on Gizmodo. They're talking about how you can now subscribe to shows and download them on your DVR, and then you can play them later on your TV, obviously. But it looks like specifically the programming is kind of like music videos, and it's really not a lot of hardcore content. But they're saying that TiVo's inching towards video on demand so that you're going to be able to get what you want when you want. But it's not quite there yet and will be hopefully in the near future. So I look forward to seeing that coming on. How many of you have got power strips laying on the floor where you've plugged in like these 9-volt converters and you only get 2 or 3 of those on there and you've got 7 or 8 jacks on a strip extender? There is a new device out. I think this is totally awesome. It's called the PowerSquid Outlet Multiplier. No More Wasted Outlets. It comes with five different dongles on it. It's basically you plug it in the wall. You have a little receptacle device, and then it has five separate dongles. It allows you to plug in five different converters so that you, you know, all the converters that we have to deal with on a daily basis with tech. Totally awesome. I'm only buying this thing in the future because I've got two power strips laying on here and a four. They have one, two, three, four, five empty holes that I, you know, I could get rid of two power strips if I had one of these power squid outlet multipliers. So $14.99, great price. And it's available at Think Geek. But anyway, I put the link up in the show notes, obviously. Okay, we talked a little bit on the last show about how TiVo is flagging shows that they can't be recorded. Anything that has a Macrovision, it boils down to TiVo said it was a glitch, but apparently some people have found out that it's not necessarily a glitch. And it's looking like that manufacturers are getting smart, figuring out, or actually content producers are blocking stuff that can be recorded in TiVo. So more info on that in Engadget. Okay, guys, I know all of you have keep razors close to heart, and you're all looking for the smoothest shave. Gillette is going to be unveiling a five-blade razor, and it's in the technology section because it's supposed to be new and improved, and it's going to give you a 30% closer shave. Well, we will see, but... the Razor Wars, isn't it amazing? What are they going to come up with next? Okay. Additionally, there's I've gotten some articles or some feedback from you guys saying I'm still using Internet Explorer. Why should I go to Firefox? And here's another blog entry: why I switched to Firefox. Well worth the read, and check that out. Found a cool site that talks about where spam is originating from right now. This is kind of one of those cool little deals you can just check out. It's an information site only, but allows you to focus in on the IP addresses that are creating the most amount of spam going to Mailinator. Well, this show's definitely running long, so I got to bust through the rest of these. There's a New York Times article in the business section that talks about by 2050, we're going to be more of a urban planet. I think we're starting to see this already. But there's a great study was done that is projecting out what's going to happen with world population and where we're all going to be living, what we're going to be eating. It's a pretty good article. So what I'd like you guys to do is go over and check this out. I don't know how long it's going to stay on the public side, but it is a good New York Times article on urban development and population, etc. Okay, folks, that's all I've got for live articles today or for new articles to talk about. I do want to thank you for tuning in to our 100th show. We've covered a lot of ground here. I did realize halfway through the show that I should not be putting your full email addresses on the articles on the podcast posting. So what I'll do is I'll put part of your email address, not the extension and the domain name. So you have to look in there for that. And if your username or actually the first part of your email address matches up, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com and I'll get you hooked up with all the prize people. And I will be sending emails out individually to each of you that have won prizes so that you get that announcement also. But I do want to thank all of you for staying subscribed, being with us. Send your comments about this show and others, of course, to the email address. You can always Skype me at geeknewscentral.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You're going to have a new show almost immediately because this is being recorded on Sunday. I've got another one to produce on Monday evening. So hopefully we have enough content to cover all the information that we need to pass to you on a regular basis. And as always, again, thank you for staying subscribed. I'm going to play a couple of tracks off the Reverse Engineers Max Q CD that five of you are going to have won. And a few comments at the end. It's going to take us over 60 minutes. But thanks, guys. Aloha. We'll see you on the next show.
It's T-minus 3 hours. Time to have your cake and light the candle. T-minus 20, hold the program manager go. staging round separating the SRBs.
3 minutes will be out of sight. Just vapor trails in the morning lights.
Houston calls for main engine cutoff.
Jettison the external tank. Watch it burn off as it falls. Fire the OMS to stabilize the orbit. Now Sir Isaac's in the driver's seat.
Astronaut orbiting the Earth on a spacewalk. I float above the atmosphere so far away from here. We'll be right back.
You can't see Mercury.